We'll do turn back if you have a Bible, and you'll need a Bible, so grab one if you can, to Ephesians in chapter 2. I'm told not by Google, but by the news that this weekend is the busiest weekend for travel, because of course it's the time when school's finished, and thousands, millions of people are in the airports, even perhaps this morning, on their way to their holidays. There'll be those who are staying in the UK, quite wisely, with the state of the pound and the wonderful weather that we've had. But there'll be those who'll be jetting off to various parts of Europe. There'll be millions going to Greece, and there may well be millions of people going to Turkey. If you go to Turkey, you can go to a place called Ephesus. It's there. You can see it. It's a real place with real people, with some amazing buildings. There's the edifice of the amazing library that was there in the city of Ephesus, well known for all its books. There's the ruins of the Temple of Artemis there in Ephesus, and the amazing amphitheatre, where you can stand at the bottom and talk like that and they can hear you right at the very back. Incredible. Amazing buildings. That's what's left of them now. I'm sure when the Apostle Paul found himself in Ephesus that he would see these incredible buildings and he would note that they were built on incredible foundation. And I just wonder whether he gets to chapter 2 and writes his amazing chapter and comes to a conclusion, whether it was the viewers of some of these buildings that got him to think about the cornerstone. I want us to think very briefly this morning in much more of a devotional than perhaps an expositional way. As some of us perhaps jet off to various places, as some of us take some time aside from the normal scheme of things, some of us perhaps feel a sense of separation because some of the ministries we're involved with and perhaps the growth groups we're attached to are not meeting quite so often, to be reminded that although there's times for people to do things differently, it's vitally important that we stay connected. And none more so connected to Christ as the cornerstone. Those words are amazing, aren't they, as we read together about being the household of God, citizens and saints and members there in verse 19, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Old and New Testament scriptures, Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. This cornerstone is what holds everything square. It's what holds everything in line. It was most often the biggest, the most well-dressed. Did you know stones were dressed? Yeah. Most well cut and carved and created stone in the whole of the building. Crucial, of vital importance. Solid, secure. You could put, not in the days of Ephesus and Paul, you could put the spirit level up. You might have used a plumb line. Those of you who are builders will know what that is. To ensure that everything was square and straight, holding everything in sync. And that's the picture that the Apostle Paul has in mind. But he mentions three very simple and very straightforward things for us to think about this morning as we set off on our separate ways, but endeavor to seek to be connected, first of all, to God and then to one another. Do you notice in those verses that we're told at least three things about this cornerstone? It joins everything together. It grows everything together, and it enables us to live together as living stones attached to him, the living cornerstone. I said before you'll need a Bible, but that's because we're going to use the very words that Paul is inspired to write to remind us of these three things: to remember what we were, to recognize what we're becoming, and to rejoice in the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The great thrust and threat of this particular chapter within this particular letter is that those who were once far off, spiritually speaking from God, separated and alienated, have now become fellow citizens, saints, and members of the household of God. Of particular importance in this particular chapter is the difference between those who are from very different backgrounds, Jew and Gentile. And you can read for yourself of a wall of hostility that had been built up and sadly in our present day is still built up in a very obvious and very tangible way. But that wall that's been broken down, abolished, torn down between factions of people, But more important than a wall between people was the wall between us and God. And of course, that's where famously this wonderful passage, this wonderful chapter begins. I remind you what you and I once were. And indeed, if this morning we're outside of God and outside of Christ, this is a description of who we are now. It's not my description, it's God's description. Come with me to the first few verses and remind ourselves of what we once were. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked following the ways of the world. We were under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. We were living in disobedience. We were living according to the passions of our own flesh, the desires of our own bodies and our own minds. We were, Paul says, by nature, children of wrath. That's what we once were. And Paul says, that's what it was like. Further down in verse 12, you'll read, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated. At the end of verse 12, remember you had no hope because you were without God in this world. As you consider the incredible statement that Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone and he's joining us together with him, the amazing truth is that we're joined at all. That it's possible to be connected, the living stone, the chief cornerstone, the precious and tested and sent one of God. How on earth could we be joined with him, thinking about who we were? How could it possibly be the case that we could be joined together into a holy temple, a dwelling place fit for God, suitable for God, when we remember what we once were? And indeed, if we're outside of Christ this morning, what we still are. If you're a Christian here this morning, celebrate the fact that today you are joined together with him. The Apostle Peter will pick up the same thought in 1 Peter in chapter 2. He will talk about Jesus being the precious and tested cornerstone and that you and I are living stones bound together with him, joined together in him. Being built together. Which is where Paul goes. Secondly, growing together from him. The very life that we have to be the church of God. The church is not a building, but the church is the building. The building that God is growing together, and it stems from, and it reaches out from, and it develops upon the chief cornerstone, growing from him. And as we step off into summer, let's do so remembering and recognizing what we are becoming. It is amazing, isn't it, that you and I could be living stones. By definition, that means we've been given life. That we somehow or other could become a holy temple, that we could become a dwelling place of God. How's that happening? Because God, in the person of his Son, by his Spirit, through his Word, is working on you. Look at the end of verse 10 in chapter 2. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Recognize what you're becoming. God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. God is working on you. You are his workmanship, his handiwork. I was reminded by somebody very precious to me yesterday that by definition, handiwork is handmade. Handiwork is handmade. God is using his hands. He's not using a machine. He's not using a conveyor belt. He's not using some crank-the-handle process, distant, sitting up in his office, watching the machinery of your life just whir round and round. No, his hands are at work on you, in you, for you. You are growing from him. Look what we read in verse 19. Look what you're becoming. You are, fellow citizens, saints, members of the household of God. Yes, that's what you are, and you're becoming more so. God is at work in you to bring you to this place of glory and ultimately of perfection. He will bring that work to completion. Because he's the living cornerstone. And life itself and growth itself comes from him and through him. You're growing from him because you're based upon the truth contained in the written word, all about the living word. The prophets of old. Go to the book of Isaiah over your lunch and do a bit of homework. There you'll find reference to the cornerstone. We've already alluded to it. Go into the New Testament, into the letter of Peter. There you'll find evidence, an illustration of Christ the cornerstone. Isaiah, a prophet. Peter, an apostle. There's the foundation. And you're growing. And we're growing together. And we're becoming that which God has called us to be. Increasingly citizens, increasingly saints, increasingly members of the household of God, as we're connected to Christ Jesus himself as our cornerstone. The whole structure is growing. Now, if you know anything about the New Testament and the Apostle Paul, he likes to flip between imagery. And so, yesterday we're talking about a building, but he'll talk elsewhere, as you well know, about a body. And a body grows, it develops. What it is as a child, as a newborn baby, is not what it becomes as a teenager, as an adult, and then as an older person. It develops and grows. And here's this work of development and growth and progress from the foundation, from the cornerstone. And so joined to him and growing to him, growing from him, we're to live together like him. We may be a little bit separated from one another to some extent or other through the next few weeks or so. But if we're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to continue to live like him. And living like him is to rejoice in grace and to rejoice in love and to rejoice in the fellowship that we have in the Godhead. That's how Jesus lived. In our studies in the John's Gospel, we've recognized and read, haven't we, that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. That's how he lived his life. He displayed the love of God. And he walked in step with his Father's will. And that's how you and I are called to live. Rejoicing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was read to us at the outset. We've captured it so wonderfully in these verses. Because when we remember what we were, it's incredible that God, being rich in mercy, great in love, loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses. That's grace. Rejoice in it. He's made us alive in Christ. That's how we can be living stones. Rejoice in it. By grace you have been saved. You've been raised up with him, seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, connected to the living stone. That he might show to you the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Rejoice in the grace of Christ. Rejoice in the great love of God. It was the love of God, the great love of God, that brought grace to save. It's the great love of God that's torn down the barrier between you and him and between you and others. It's because of the great love of God that he sends the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 13, that those of us who were far off could be brought near to God by the blood of Christ. God reconciling us to himself, verse 16, through the cross, killing the hostility, preaching and bringing peace. It's the love of God that calls you into his household. You and I don't deserve to be sons and daughters of the living God. We don't deserve to be adopted into his family. We don't deserve to be able to refer to him as our Father. Rejoice in the love of God that has brought this all about and brings it to you on the basis of Christ, the cornerstone. And rejoice in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice a couple of references to the Spirit? Verse 18, for through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. How do you know the Father? How do you know God as Father? Because God, by his Holy Spirit, brings enlightenment to your eyes, and enlightenment to your heart, and enlightenment to your mind, and shows you God. Live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This whole building process, this movement towards that being joined together to be a holy temple and a dwelling place for God is by the Spirit. Rejoice in the work of the Spirit in your life and in mine. Rejoice that God in the Trinity of his persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has given you life and calls you to live like him. You don't need me to remind you what would happen if you remove the cornerstone from a building. It falls apart. It has no structure. It has no stability. And so it is if you and I try to live this one brief life on earth, whether we try to live it inside the church or outside the church. If we try to live without Christ as the cornerstone, there will be no life, not really. There will be no purpose. There will be no structure. There will be no stability because you've ripped the very foundation out. And so we need to know this morning that we are joined by faith to the cornerstone. We need to know this morning that we are growing by grace on the cornerstone. And we need to know that by grace and through faith, we are living by following the example of Christ the cornerstone. It's the only way to live. No Christ, no access to God, says Paul. No Christ, no blessings from God. No Christ, there's no way that God will dwell with you. And no Christ, there is no way that you will have an eternity with God. Or you can try various other cornerstones. You can try various other foundations. But Jesus is described as the tried and tested and precious cornerstone. The only one. So as we step out into this summer period, let's do so remembering that we need to be joined together with him. Recognizing that we'll only become what God calls us to if we grow together from him. And that the great call in our life, through the grace and the love and the fellowship of God in the Trinity of his persons, is to rejoice that we live increasingly like him. May God enable us so to live. Remembering, recognizing, and rejoicing that in Christ alone is our hope and our glory. And in Christ alone is our cornerstone for life. Let's stand together and respond in our sung worship as we close our time together.